Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
I feel quite comfy here.
Check it out. I could almost sit on that couch.
We could get an extension cord for your mic and you could just lie there.
I don't sit at desks very often.
No. Well, I know you don't have a desk. Mm. That's not how you like to work.
No, I have a couch. You know what can eat a giant bag of dicks?
What?
Standing desk.
Yeah, what's all that about?
You've not been in the corporate world, so you've not really brushed
up
against
that.
Yeah, that's true. It is a way for pathetic, desperate, I've got to stay fit. Sitting is too sedentary. And so, piss off. Who wants to stand at a desk all day?
I don't want to stand there for 8 hours. Oh, welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 68.
So close to dinner for two.
So when we do that next week, I'll remind me and you do that intro.
Oh.
And you do it bingo style.
You won't forget. You'll say it's episode 69 and I'll go.
And then I'll say, oh, yeah. You're telling me you're supposed to do it. Heads up for this week's episode. There will be a full-on spoiler discussion of the entire season of Umbrella Academy.
Heads up.
At the end.
Yeah.
And same with The Walking Dead. Well, not the entire thing, but the episode that happened.
That's right. We'll put it back there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
What else? We've got a quiz. We've got lots of news, sad news. Probably want to start with the sad news.
Yeah, rip it off like a Band-Aid.
Oh, Luke Perry, a.k.a. Dylan McKay from Beverly Hills 90210, late last week, I think it was, suffered a massive stroke. And it was only yesterday that I started to sort of have a look around, because we're recording this on Tuesday, to see if there was any update. And there was no update. I thought, I don't know how I feel about that. And then, woke up today to find out that, unfortunately, Luke Perry has passed away from the massive stroke at the age of only 52.
Very young.
Now there's a whole heap of stuff that, in terms of work, people are going to have to not only come to terms with their grief and mourning, but they're also going to have to figure out what to do with Riverdale.
Yeah, well, Riverdale already announced that they're shutting down for at least a day, if not a couple.
I'd say a couple. They just need to give themselves some time to... I mean, it's a shock. It's a young guy. 52's not old.
And he very much plays the mentor character on that show and, shepherding the younger actors and this sort of stuff. Mm. So.
And then last week, I think it was, they announced that there was a Beverly Hills 90210 reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that reboot, I don't think he had signed on for because of Riverdale.
Well, I had looked into that and he'd signed in a... He couldn't be a regular. He was only going to be a guest star and so might appear in maybe two episodes or something like that because of his film commitments.
Mm.
Yeah.
All very sad and very upsetting for people who remember him and are fans of him and, of course, his family. I mean, he's got two kids. Mm. Absolutely devastating. It's the kind of guy that you think, geez, I remember him looking like an older bloke when I was young in Beverly Hills 90210. And yes, he was older than he was supposed to be. Like, he definitely wasn't a 15, 16-year-old when he was playing it. But 52 is still not very old.
Mm.
Very sad. Any other sad news that you want to throw at us?
I was bummed that Keith Flint died.
Yeah, that wasn't
good. Not that that's necessarily
good.
Watching stuff, but I vividly remember having Prodigy clips seared into my mind when I was quite young.
See, he's not very old either.
No, but... He
burned bright. He was the fire starter after all.
Yep.
Yeah, and they'd been working or at least touring solidly.
Yeah, I saw them a couple of years ago. They were out here. Was it early this year or late last year? You know, they're going strong. And,
Not cool.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
We got any better news, happier news to get us out of this sad funk?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been renewed for season 7 at NBC.
That's great.
Yep.
No big shock, but still it's wonderful knowing that that's what it is. I mean, that it had so much success this season so far.
And it's growing in leap and bounds. This last episode was fantastic. It was all about every now and then they do like a very serious subject.
Mm.
And this episode was about harassment and... Obviously, Terry Crews is one of the main faces in male harassment.
Absolutely.
And it was very, very respectful, but very well done. So I'm keen for more of that. Bring it on.
More Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I wonder how many more seasons it's got.
I reckon a couple more. If they hadn't shifted to NBC, they might have wrapped it up. But now it seems they've given it a new lease on life.
People just love it. And also, I think with all the news of, you know, it moving over and whatnot, it's gotten a whole new audience who have now streamed the first however many seasons to sort of get up to it. So great news.
And Andy Samberg's keeping busy because they're about to do their very first ever Lonely Island live tour.
Everything is awesome. Bit I'm of on that. A boat, y'all.
I'm on a boat, dick in a box.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You, mother lover.
You'd really want to be there for the Justin Timberlake.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how they're going to do it without Justin Timberlake there because he's on a lot of the songs.
Is he touring at the moment?
Probably.
Probably.
He does a lot of that.
He's a hard worker.
Might be working on Trolls 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This one, there's a few different versions of this story. And I say versions, I mean offshoots of the story. Mm-hmm. The fact that, do you remember when Roma was nominated for an Oscar and because it was on Netflix, people weren't happy? They were saying that it had to have more of a cinematic, like cinema release, theatre release, which they did. I mean, it did. They threw it onto some screens around the US. But Steven Spielberg is all sorts of not happy about this. And he's still going on about it. And then there's backlash for him going on about it. So basically he doesn't think Netflix should be allowed to have any Oscar-contended movies, along with other members of the Academy. So it's not just him. Several film studios are against it. So he's on the campaign to make sure that movies on streaming services cannot be qualified for an Oscar.
Yes, he thinks they should be in the Emmys.
What do you think?
I think that's an angry old man yelling at clouds.
And not the Monkey Magic cloud either.
No, just get with the times, man. I understand if he was representing cinema chains, that's a very different story because then it's about that window exclusivity. That's part of the deal of cinema is that you show in cinema and then there's a window exclusivity where it's not available for purchase, rent, download, anything else. And streaming takes away a lot of that. But on the flip side, there are a lot of people that don't live near a cinema. There are a lot of people that can't afford to go to the cinema regularly but could afford one movie ticket per month at home. For Netflix or something. You know what I mean? It makes it far more inclusive and open to all.
I also think that by banning Netflix and other streaming services, you're banning Disney.
Sure.
You know Disney are going to start throwing a whole heap of things on their streaming site.
Well, they're doing a Lady and the Tramp remake that's purely for the streaming service.
Now, why should that be considered lesser of a film than, you know, The Lion King that is being redone?
Definitely not.
So this is where it all gets a bit messy, and I don't know how strong his argument's going to be.
I think he needs to come up with some more points soon because his stuff is very outdated. But on the flip side, he is very, very high up and very, very powerful.
He is.
You do not cross Steven Spielberg.
Well, here are some of his complaints. Netflix spent too much. They have guesstimated about $50 million was spent doing the Oscar campaigning for Roma, whereas Green Book was about five, I think.
Sure.
Roma.
Roma, they had a lot more reason to spend because they've got an uphill battle to try and fight and prove and everything like that.
Roma only spent 3 weeks in the theatre before moving to Netflix, but all movies stay in theatres for ages, Stephen.
Can we also point out that it's a foreign language film?
It is. It's so, black and white as well, which I know shouldn't, but it does sort of create a barrier.
Hugely so. Yeah. And that's a very good reason why 3 weeks is a pretty good amount of time for it to be in an English-speaking American country.
That's right. Netflix doesn't report box office. Netflix doesn't respect the 90-day theatrical window. Netflix movies are available in 190 countries 24/7. So will Disney movies.
Yeah. Are these bad things? Why?
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a story to watch, but I think at the same time this story will subside and sort of drift away now that the Oscars have gone, and we'll probably revisit it later in the year, maybe November, as we start to ramp up to the next awards things. But it's just a good one to put in the back burner.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a story that will continue over the next few years.
It is weird that Steven Spielberg has basically become a taxi driver pissed off at Uber.
Yes, that is a perfect analogy.
That's what this is. It's someone from an outdated, antiquated system who's unwilling to change with what's happening now. I mean, what, he's what, 70?
Yeah, probably about that.
It will be interesting to see what happens when Scorsese's Netflix film comes out later this year, because that's the one that I feel like part of this is nervous about. You know, there's a film coming that's got Pacino, De Niro, Joe Pesci, everyone you want from a gangster film in there, even Action Bronson, the rapper.
A-listers.
But just, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and it's not going to be any lesser of a film.
Hell no.
Just because it's on a streaming site.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What news did you find this week?
So, talking about Disney streaming, The Mandalorian, which is the Star Wars TV show live action one for their streaming service, they've announced that it has wrapped production.
Exciting.
Potentially going to be airing before the end of this year. Now, they haven't said exactly when Disney Plus is going to launch, so it's been a lot of speculation and waiting, and the fact that it's already wrapped production, which people weren't expecting quite so soon, speaks very favourably for it coming sooner rather than later.
And you know it's going to be the show that kicks off the streaming side, or at least one of.
Yes. It's
a big profile.
Look, it makes a lot of sense to be aiming for the end of the year, because that's when we'll be getting Star Wars Episode 9 in cinemas. And if they can try and do a concurrent release between the two, I think it would make a lot of sense. Plus, you've got Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening soon at Disneyland, which I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes. Edge of Tomorrow. Do you remember that great movie from a couple of years ago with Tom Cruise, where he's basically Groundhog Day meets Starship Troopers?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Anyway, they're moving forward on the sequel for that.
Fantastic.
I have no idea how that will work, because it seemingly fixed things at the end, but then it also showed that maybe Emily Blunt's character had stuff happening, so maybe she'll be more of the lead character.
Edge Tomorrow, Blunt's back.
But I want to see hapless Tom Cruise dying over and over again, because that was really satisfying in Edge of Tomorrow.
I like that movie.
Me too. That was a little bit of for me, that was the beginning of the redemption of Tom Cruise, because the last two Mission Impossibles have been fantastic, and that one, I'm not counting The Mummy in the mix.
No, that one was, I didn't see it, but it was not considered great.
There's a couple of duds in the mix there.
But there are duds in everyone's mix of films. If you haven't seen the first movie of what is potentially go and watch it.
Yeah,
check
if you're,
it out.
If you're overseas and you're wondering, what the hell is this Edge of Tomorrow? It's called Live, Die, Repeat.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Especially in the UK.
Oh, okay.
I know it's called that. What else you got?
Well, I saw that Simon Pegg has gotten quite ripped / skinny for a movie. His personal trainer put it up on his Twitter, I think. Nick Lowe is the PT, and he was instructed to give Simon a lean, very lean look for Inheritance, which is a new thriller that's going to have Lily Collins in it as well. And he's kind of, if you haven't seen the photograph of him, he looks a cross between the Simon Pegg that you know and Christian Bale in The Machinist.
Yeah, sure. There's a hint of junkie there.
Yeah, but not as gaunt.
No.
But apparently it took 6 months. And the little caption that Nick Lowe put in was Simon Pegg's 6-month body transformation for the Inheritance movie. The brief for this role was lean, very lean. It required a specific body shape and look. And then Simon chimed in with also occasional mild grumpiness. That's right. I bet you anything, he just can't wait to eat again.
Yeah.
I wonder what the diet is. It's got to be exercise. It's got to be mainly diet, right? To be able to so much body fat.
It'd be a lot of water, shifting water weight, but then drinking lots of electrolyte.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff.
Heavy drinks and stuff.
Gatorade, like, for days. What other stories have you got?
So I mentioned briefly about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Now, that's the Star Wars-themed land coming to Disneyland in...
So that's what is LA?
Yes, that's in our winter, their summer.
Okay.
And then
that's soon.
Very, very soon. And then opening at Disney World, which is Orlando, that will be in our spring, their fall. Autumn, get it right. So they did some previews this week with media, and the general consensus was, and excuse the French, holy fuck. In the same way that Harry Potter, the worlds of Harry Potter, really upped the theme park game, what is it, 8 years ago now or something like that? Apparently this is like a monumental leap into the stratosphere of what can be done.
Wow. So both are obviously very different, land and world Star Wars. Disneyland and Disney World will be quite different.
No, it's going to be be the same story,
right,
the same rides and stuff at both places, but it's a fully immersive experience. When you walk in there, like to the point where they're not going to be selling Coca-Cola, which is one of Disney's biggest sponsors, there'd be nothing branded in there to break the illusion.
That's cool.
Everything is going to be of that world. So they found out a way to make the blue milk from the original Star Wars and this sort of stuff. It has the second most advanced audio animatronic ever made. A guy named Hondo, who's in Rebels, Clones, bunch of the shows like that. He's a smuggler, and he's going to charge you with flying the Millennium Falcon.
Ooh.
They have a full 1-to-1 size Millennium Falcon, like scale size, that you go inside. One of the rides is called Smuggler's Run, and you, with five other people, have to pilot the Millennium Falcon. And so there's two pilots, two engineers, and two gunners.
Yep.
And everyone's roles matter. So your performance on the ride is digitally tracked to your wristband or whatever it is like that, and has a run-on effect with the rest of your experience in that land.
That's so immersive.
Yes.
Like, people are going to have to full-on role-play this.
Well, there's three separate sections within the park. One is the Rebel base. One is the Hive of Villainy and Scum, which is going to have a cantina.
And that's where the blue milk will be.
And the only place in Disneyland that will sell booze that you don't have to pay $35,000 a year to enter.
Right.
There's the Disney club that is super exclusive. But you'll be able to buy booze there. And then there's also the area of the First Order if you want to be a stormtrooper and this sort of stuff. All the staff create their own character and choose their narrative, but they all have parts that of the story that they can tell that will enhance viewers' experience.
This is incredible.
So if you're on the Rebel side and you do really well on one of the rides, then they can have wanted posters with your photo, like, digitally start appearing around the land, and other people who might be playing mercenaries can try and capture you and hand you in to the First Order.
So I wonder how many people are allowed within this, for want of a better term, ride at once. Was there any indication, or is that sort of...
So that's still up in the air.
Okay.
They apparently have plans.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying there's a prediction that for the first 3 months, Disneyland will be sold out and filled by 10 a.m. every day.
I'm not surprised.
And they're going to have queues to get in the queue to get into the queue. Get your ticket, come back between 3:05 and 3:10, and this is your entry window.
Wow.
And this sort of stuff. So that one of the rides is this Millennium Smuggler's Run, and then the other one is called something like Rise of the Republic or something like that.
Mm.
And sorry, Rise of the Resistance, something along those lines. And you're a new rebel fighter who gets swept up in some mission, and I don't want to go too much details because some of the stuff I read was really spoilery, but it's a ride that will take at least 25 minutes to complete, and it's actually 4 to 5 different rides that you get on one and are involved in this ride, and it spits you out in a different location, and then you have to run across a hangar and get involved in a different one, like a lift that takes you up several floors. This sort of stuff tells a full long story. It sounds so cool.
This is game-changing.
Yeah. So this is go and live a movie rather than just sign up to do some rides or something like that. So this is going to have elements of roller coaster, of thrill ride, of dark ride, all smooshed together.
And you know people are going to come out of it and go, oh, so the other gunner pilot or whatever, he was crap.
Yes.
He ruined. We died because of it. We not died, but, we lost out the mission because of that, and then we ended up down here. And you would imagine there's all these contingency plans, and potentially not everybody's experience will be the same, and that is cool.
There's apparently many, many different potential outcomes for the Millennium Falcon flight ride.
So good.
and it will dictate things moving forward. And if someone in your group or someone that you get put with to do this is bad, perhaps you can choose to turn on them afterwards and hand them over to a mercenary.
Amazing. Uh-huh. Okay, this is all really good.
I'm so excited for this.
I'm looking forward to hearing normal people, like public's hyped stories.
Well, I'm still waiting to hear when it will actually open because I'm planning on going to Comic-Con, which is in July.
Yep.
If it's open by then, I would love to try and go, but at the same time,
it's going to be difficult.
It might not be worth trying to go just yet.
Yeah, it might be one of those ones where you just want to let the huge first wave rush go through and then you can sort of get in. It'd still be difficult. I think it'll still be absolutely packed, but less chaotic.
Yes, and the hotel that connects with it isn't ready yet.
Okay.
That's the part I'm really cool. Like,
so it's a Star Wars hotel?
Yeah, that exists within that area. Once you check in, it's like you've been beamed to space. And the windows in the hotel rooms are actually screens that will show you planets, like vision of planets.
So it's like you being Princess Leia watching your planet explode. That's amazing.
And all the hotel staff are part of the story. And bring it on. It's so good.
So exciting.
Uh-huh.
So many different things. Okay, I've got one last story. This is the animated Scooby-Doo movie that's getting made. It's been cast. Well, some names. You've got Will Forte, who will be Shaggy, I think.
Boo.
Gina Rodriguez will be...
Velma.
Yeah, she's Velma. And then you've got Frank Welker, who will be Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
And they're the only ones that we know at the moment.
Frank Welker, you might know from...
Oh, he's been in everything.
Transformers.
Yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I forgot Tracy Morgan's in it, but he is a different...
He's Captain Caveman. So it looks like it's going to be more of a Hanna-Barbera mashup movie.
It is. So what they're doing, this is what we know so far, is that they're going to hang out in the Hanna-Barbera universe and they're going to try and save the world from Dick Dastardly and his evil plans. So
we're going to get Muttley.
I'm hoping. Who's going to be Muttley? You could be Muttley. Yeah, super exciting. I think it's going to be fun. And it's coming out next year. I think about a year away. May 2020 is the release date.
I have to say, I am very disappointed for Matthew Lillard.
Lillard absolutely.
Has played and voiced Scooby every time since Casey Kasem handed over the role in, 2002? Maybe even earlier than
Maybe earlier.
So Casey Kasem did it since Inception.
Mm.
And then officially passed the torch to Matthew Lillard. And Matthew Lillard found out about this film with it being announced.
Oh, really? So he wasn't even asked.
And he's played Shaggy in 200 different projects. Video games, TV series, commercials, voicing action figures, all sorts of stuff. He's done all this work.
So what's up with that, I wonder? Whose decision?
Oh, executives.
And why, though? They just want a fresh reboot?
Yeah, bigger names.
Will Forte?
Mm.
I mean, he's from SNL.
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth.
MacGruber.
That's right. Was in bits of 30 Rock, but not all the time.
And he plays a fantastically, satanically haunted mattress salesman on Tim and Eric Awesome Show.
Really?
Yeah.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, that's the news that we've got for that. Have you got any other newsy stuff?
I've got one last news story. Well, I'll say two news stories.
Okay.
And a little bit of trailer action.
Awesome.
Yes. So quickly, there's a new Walking Dead spin-off series confirmed to be in some form of early development. There are absolutely no details about it other than, yes, we are looking at more ways to make more Walking Dead.
I'm wondering if instead of doing another Walking Dead series set somewhere else, I wonder if they could do that but have it animated to look like the comics, if that would be a fresh lease of life and get some people more excited about it.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I wonder if they do it in black and white, though, because the comic books are.
I would love a black and white Walking Dead style version of World War Z, of just every episode is a different anthology, it's set in a different part of the world. We'll see what's happened since, see the fall, whatever.
Yeah, jump around timelines.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, now that we've hyped ourselves up for something that hasn't potentially been promised to us. We can be upset when they do Fear the Walking Dead 2, Seattle.
You know what's been missing from my life?
What's that?
Well, I've had a lot of them separate, but I've been missing the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, it's true.
They're back.
Do you know how I know this?
How?
Sophie Turner.
Sure.
AKA Sansa Stark. I think she goes out with Joe, the middle one.
Yeah.
Yeah. She posted on Instagram, they're back.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. So music?
Music.
Or a TV show? Is there a reality TV show attached to it? I don't know. I'm just...
So they dropped a new song, which is presumably going to lead into a new album.
Yep.
It has a very cool music video. But the reason why I bring it up here is it was very interesting to watch iTunes US over the weekend suddenly have their charts, both TV, film and music, infiltrated and taken over again by the Jonas Brothers, who were at their peak, I want to say 2008, 2009, somewhere around Burn and Up.
Then, yeah.
And then they've all gone and done their own separate things and stuff.
Yeah.
DNCE.
Yeah.
Popping up in Jumanji. All sorts of cool
Nick's gear. Done stuff.
Yeah.
Nick's a lot of solo levels. Stuff.
And he's in he's in an MMA TV show as well.
He is too.
I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
One with Frank Grillo.
It's not Kingdom, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've just took over the charts everywhere again as girls that were tweens are suddenly...
It's the same way New Kids on the Block had a whole heap of success touring again because those women who were kids then can afford to go and watch them several times.
Yep.
So, yeah, and the Jonases, I must say they look very... They always were styled well, but there's a bit of quirkiness to their style for the moment. Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so they look good, I should say.
Well done to them. And then very quickly, some trailers.
Mm.
I'll fire them off super duper quick. So
do it.
Animal Cribs comes back for season 2 this week. Hooray. That's a guy who goes and sometimes builds cool animal setups for people's homes, but also just goes and checks out really awesome setups.
Amazing.
Like dog retreats.
That'd be fun.
It's good fun.
You're going to watch all of that, I already know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will Smith's Bucket List finally kicked off. We've been hearing about this for a long time and we saw him filming going skydiving for his birthday and this sort of stuff. It's literally just a bit of a travel show where Will Smith goes and ticks off stuff off a potential bucket
list. He's a happy, fun-loving guy. I think his personality would work well in this kind of program.
And I think it's the reason why he's not doing Suicide Squad 2 is because he's had so much fun doing this first season of doing ridiculous shit that he wants to go and do another season of it.
And why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Good work. So I'll check that one out.
That sounds fun.
It's on like YouTube or Apple or Facebook Live. It's Facebook Now or whatever they call it.
Okay,
I don't. Anyway,
I can't remember.
It's available. Go and look. The trailer for Dark Phoenix dropped, which is the new X-Men.
Yeah, which is once again you got Sophie Turner in there.
Mm,
okay.
Yawn.
Yeah. Okay.
I
watched it, but. I've never been a big X-Men fan. I've not followed. I think I've seen one and I don't even remember which one it was.
So the Dark Phoenix storyline from the comics is sacred and it was one of the big events of of comics growing up and being more adult.
Mm-hmm.
They've already adapted that into a film called X-Men The Last Stand or X3 The Last Stand. It was shit.
They went, we'll try again, try and make it better?
Yep. And the guy directing this film has never directed a film before. He's written plenty of the rubbish X-Men's.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So we're going to see how this goes. It has, I think, Jessica Chastain as an alien. Potentially they're going to kill a lot of them off so that way they can reboot.
Yeah, do a rehash.
For Marvel.
That makes sense.
Properly powered like a Petrelli brother. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
But then the big one.
Da, 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 da.
I've kept this till last.
Okay.
Because I tagged you in all caps for the Hellboy trailer.
Yes.
That new Hellboy trailer was so good.
I've watched it probably half a dozen times, and that's a lot, but I reckon you have gone tenfold on that.
Just the fact that there was that like 4-second smash cut at the very start of here's a bit of a teaser thing, and there was a shot of a jaguar jumping, and I was like, oh, shit. I'm going to start this again. I'm going to take my hat off now. because I'm already taking my hat off to them, but I've got to get ready. Folks, we're seeing a Wear Jaguar on film.
This is it. This is your dream.
I've been talking this up for years.
Yes, you have.
And it's finally happening. Because people think that werewolf is the only way a person can wear out. No.
I reckon a Wear Jaguar is way more dangerous. It's a Jaguar already. Like, if you get a wolf versus... I've gotten emotional about it. A wolf versus a Jaguar, who's more dangerous?
That's right. You're being bothered by a werewolf? Climb a tree. You're being bothered by a Wear Jaguar?
It's coming up with you.
Uh-huh. Nope. I think they did really well to... this trailer was completely different to the first one they put out. The first one they put out a little while ago was filled with yucks and funniness and jokes and ha 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 ha.
This one had like hype to it. Like it made you feel amped.
And it's showing the epic scale.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think people are ready for how much of the world might get destroyed. Because one of the things that has made Hellboy and the BPRD comics so famous is that they've been going for just over 20 years and they've never rebooted anything. So in your traditional comics, you know, mid-90s, they killed Superman. 6-7 months later, he was back. He was fine. You know, that's the cyclical nature.
It was all just a dream.
That's right. It's the cyclical nature of narrative storytelling, whereas Hellboy's whole deal is anything that happens is permanent and you can't go back. And
stakes are high.
Yeah. And we saw a fair bit of that. There was some shots. There was a shot of him pulling a sword out of a stone.
I like that.
There is a very famous English sword in a stone.
Is there?
That could very well be what Hellboy might be fated to do.
I like that, though. To me, this trailer worked, and hats off to whoever edited it or directed it, because it made me go, oh, when's it? I need to see it now. When's this out now? It just looked gorgeous as well. Like the whole, I know the color spectrum is very important in Hellboy, but it set the tone. It looked stunning.
And David Harbour looks like he's having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. He's super happy that he got this role.
I have a lot of faith because it's being directed by Neil Marshall, who you might have seen some of his films. He did Dog Soldiers and The Descent. He's done a lot of great horror films. Dog Soldiers were army werewolves.
I don't know that. Okay. Uh-huh. Right. Have I seen that?
It's probably 2002 or something like that. And then The Descent.
Dog Soldiers. The Descent I definitely know.
Yes.
I feel like I might have seen Dog Soldiers.
It wouldn't surprise me if you have. It's got a great cast, a lot of proper English thespians.
Rather.
Yes. But you might know him far better from all his work on Game of Thrones, because he's directed most of the big battle episodes.
All right, then. We know Hellboy is...
That's right. It's got the pedigree for some huge battle scenes, and some of the shots in the trailer show some creatures called Ogdruhem, which are creatures from beyond the veil. They're very much part of that Cthulhu mythos and mystery and stuff like that.
Yeah, you've got, lovely.
Ogdruhem, Jaharahem, and various stages of the creatures of, if hell was not hell but an other verse. Yeah. Horrible, horrible things. Horrible things.
Stuff that you can imagine Dante wandering past going, oh.
Yes.
And fainting. Oh. No, very, very hyped about that. If you haven't checked the trailer out, definitely watch it.
Yep. And then feel free to at me your thoughts.
Mm.
Not on Twitter, so don't at me there.
Oh, just go to the Watchers Facebook page.
Or Instagram. Leave a comment and
absolutely.
I'll chime in.
Yeah.
Because I want people hyped about Hellboy, and I want people to go and see it when it's out so we can talk about it.
We have a big old chat about it.
Uh-huh. That's enough trailers for you. You look full.
I'm totally full, and now I need to purge what I've watched.
Okay.
Obviously, I finished the entire season of Umbrella Academy. We won't talk about that now because we want to get into the spoilers, so that will be behind the spoiler section after the quiz.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So first off, I'm going to say I checked out Isn't It Romantic, you know, the Rebel Wilson movie.
That's got a Hemsworth.
I had the wrong Hemsworth. When I first started watching it, I assumed it was Chris.
Nah, it's Liam,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, it's Liam, a.k.a. Mr. Miley Cyrus. In the beginning, he speaks in an American accent, and I went, oh, I thought he had an Australian accent in this one. later on he does, and out of what I... So it was a fun enough movie. It was kind of poking fun of rom-coms and how they are structured. Because, you know, when you start watching a rom-com, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, sure, the beats.
Yeah, you know every part of the storyline beat-wise. This one was sort of making fun of it because Rebel Wilson plays a character, Natalie, who is anti-rom-coms. Used to love them as a kid. Her mother ruined them for her. Her mother is Jennifer Saunders. Jennifer Saunders does the very best, worst English person doing an Australian accent I've heard in a long time.
Like Good Place Bad?
It's just, it's like, you might have to watch it. She's only in it for the first 5 minutes. Because I've seen her in French and Saunders do an Australian accent, and I thought, not the best, but not bad. This one's like she's forgotten how to do it, which is strange because she's there with an Australian actor.
It's truth.
Yeah, mate. Oh, mate. Oh, I can't even. It's like she's just watched 10 minutes of a Neighbours episode. I'm trying to recreate it. I can't do it. Yeah, it's pretty bad, but in a hilarious way. But yeah, Liam Hemsworth and Rebel Wilson get to be Aussie in it, which is fantastic. Except they get to be Aussies, but they have to change certain pronunciations and also phrases and words so Americans know what they're talking about.
So no, you bloody ripper, you little locker or nothing like that?
No, it's not. For some reason, there's a bit of koala talk in there, but they were talking about grade school.
Right.
Well, if there are two Aussies in America, they're not going to talk about grade school. They'll talk about grade school potentially to an American, but if you are two Aussies talking...
What's a grade school?
You're going to be talking about primary school, aren't you?
Ah, thank you for your clarification.
You're so welcome. There was another bit where...
Sorry, I have to derail you for a moment.
Yeah?
What the fuck is a sophomore?
Okay. Sophomore, I believe. No, there are two different versions. There's sophomore, I believe, in high school.
And college.
And college. I think you're maybe year 9, year 10.
Okay. Is it...
And then second year of uni.
So is it kind of like the second year of that block?
Yeah, you're in the middle.
Then just call it year 9. Don't be a dick. Far out.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Because then they've got like junior high and high school and just, can't you just all be in one?
Yeah. Oh, duh.
Duh. Rat bags.
Sorry for derailing you. But
no, totally fine. There were other things where she's an architect who designs car parks. She doesn't call them car parks. She calls them some
parking
American
garage
thing. That's it. She even pronounces garage strangely. She says garage.
Garage.
Like nobody says that. Apart from the whole Jennifer Saunders can't do Australian accent, the whole we're going to be Australian but we're going to speak in American terms, it's a bit of fun.
Okay.
There's a bit of singing and dancing. You've got Adam Devine's in it.
Oh, from Workaholics.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there's a Jonas Brothers wife in it. Not the oldest Joan. I think it's Nick Jonah's new wife. I'm pretty sure it's her. I think she's in it.
Okay.
Watch it and let me know. But Betty Gilpin, who is in Glow.
Sure.
She's in it with dark hair. I'm like, why's she got dark hair? Oh, so she looks different from Glow. Okay, fair enough. She's kind of endearing. I'd say Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m. is when you should watch it. It's that kind of thing. Like you've done stuff and then you just want to chill.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you should watch this movie.
Is it kind of like Scream for romantic comedies? Like
sort of.
Is it playing with the trope?
It's 100% playing with the trope. There are some bits that you do laugh at,
yep,
and there are bits where you're smiling and going, this is quite clever. There's a karaoke scene which I found quite entertaining.
Sure.
And I think you're going to end up going, yeah, I didn't waste my time watching that.
Okay.
What did you watch?
That sounds pretty cool. I watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
You've already seen that.
I have, but it comes with an alternate universe edition.
Oh, nice.
Which is a fully expanded, like, 2.5-hour version of all the cut, like, the scenes that they cut out, storylines that they didn't progress with, worked back in. And some of them are just using storyboards, animatics, all different ways to show how the story could have progressed differently. And
this
is
nice.
It gets literally introduced as, hey, everyone, this film is about alternate realities and we wanted to show how in a different universe someone watching this film could look that way. And it goes from there. But the part why I'm talking about all of this is it starts with an old school Looney Tunes style cartoon of Spider-Ham. So he gets the funny introduction. His character's name is Peter Porker.
Of course it is.
Of course. And we meet several other of the already animalized Spider-Man bad guys, but further animalized because they're now an animal person playing.
It sounds so confusing, but it sounds really fun. And if you enjoyed the film.
Yes.
Or if you enjoy any Spider-Man, it sounds like this is.
It's the ultimate package type thing.
Yeah. It's what you wanted every DVD to be.
Yes.
When you bought them.
Look, it was a funny slapstick little short mini movie episode done in that cartoon style, but then it suddenly very jarringly slams into the movie.
Okay. So they couldn't quite figure out how to do that.
Oh, no, they did.
Oh, they knew what they were doing.
There's a whole, for anyone who's seen Into the Spider-Verse, you know that the characters, when they're plucked from their own universe, begin glitching severely. And that's the joke of this happy cartoon suddenly has a digital rip come through and start to, render Spider-Ham in more detail.
That's very clever.
It's so, and like
that's starts, a lot of work.
Starts to make him more 3D as he gets sucked into the portal.
Yeah. And
basically goes off to have the movie begin. Very, very clever.
How long would it be?
4.5 minutes.
Perfect.
It's really short, little sharp, playing with an alternate version of Dr. Octopus.
Oh, cool.
And then just things go awry very quickly.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, great, really cool bonus features and extras packages and stuff.
Mm.
I'm very impressed with it.
Amazing.
Answering Ryder's Pup Patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I watched one other thing that I can talk about before the spoilers.
Mm.
And it's a show that's not necessarily new. It's just that I was having a text conversation with my mother the other night and she said, I'm watching Big Family Cooking Showdown. I reckon you'd like it.
Big Cooking Family Showdown.
Yeah, so it's English.
Yep.
And you know they love their cooking competitions. And they don't take them as seriously as the Americans
no.
do. It's got like that. Think of Great British Bake Off, that kind of
sure.
feel to it. And
buttery biscuit base.
Exactly. In fact, you've actually got one of the hosts, I think, of the first season, potentially the second, I haven't watched the second yet, is a winner of Great British Menu, Great British Bake Off. It's families, two families go head to head.
Yep.
Cooking good home cooking food. And there are judges who are chefs or cooks, and they will decide who goes through to semifinals. So that's that kind of
sure.
thing. So, for example, one episode you had a Swedish family versus an English family who had travelled a lot, so they liked a lot of Thai, Vietnamese kind of cooking, where the Swedish family obviously were making Swedish meatballs and that kind of thing. It was really cool and I loved it and I watched it whilst cooking. You know, you just stick it on your iPad and
sure.
I was just watching it. And it's the kind of show where, yeah, it's a competition, but it doesn't really matter who wins. I like those sort.
Like a Whose Line Is It Anyway style thing.
That kind of thing, that kind of. Yeah, not even as competitive as Come Dine With Me, because Come Dine With Me's got money.
That's mad competitive.
God,
I love that show.
I love it so much. I can sometimes sit there and watch 4 episodes of Come Dine With Me in a row and be like, I could go for another one.
Linz and I once started watching at 10:30 in the morning and then accidentally it was 1 a.m.
Not even going to judge because I'm actually in awe of that. Did you ever get around to watching, I don't think it's on anymore because it was a few years ago, SBS must have had it. It was a Greek version of Come Dine With Me. So it was Come Dine With Me, Greek style. It was just as brilliant. I've seen a Canadian version. I've seen an Australian version.
I have seen the Aussie version.
James Valentine does a great narrator.
Mm.
Sometimes some people are not big fan of the English guy, but I think you've got to embrace him.
He's so sarcastic.
Exactly.
He's what makes the show. Without him, it's just a boring, it's just watching people cook. But with him, he's taking pot shots at them. He's pulling them down.
I love it. I love Come Dine With Me.
Yeah.
But that's not what I was talking about.
No.
But watch that as well.
How many soggy bottoms would you
give
it?
There was a soggy bottom in a plum tart. I would give it 3 soggy bottoms out of 5.
Mm.
Enjoyable. You could probably get through a few. And if you walk away or, start chopping up onions and can't see the screen for 5 minutes, you'll be fine.
That sounds like a rather moist bottom, not a sodden bottom.
That's right. What else have you watched?
I got one more thing for in the mix that I'll talk about today. Actually, before I talk about that, I've been watching a bit of Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, what's that like?
Oh, it's fine. It's a very heady show. They talk about big concepts.
So you definitely can't watch two in a row.
No, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is there was an episode, is this a zombie apocalypse possible? Could it potentially happen? That's all well and good. What I want to talk about is there was a scientist that they talked with on this show.
Yeah.
And his name was Robert Smith.
And did he have crazy hair and 1980s makeup?
No, because his name is Robert Smith with a question mark at the end. Robert Smith.
Oh, so when you said that, you weren't just being Australian?
No.
And putting an inflection at the end?
No. And he explained that he added the question mark to his end because so many people were confusing him with other Robert Smiths, even in his own field as a, he's like a vaccine and disease potential devastation mapper.
So he's perfect for this.
Oh, yeah. He knows this stuff. And he's an Aussie guy.
Oh, we need to sit down and talk to him.
That's why I'm bringing this up.
I've got so many questions.
He's already got one at the end of his name. Robert Smith. Like, what an awesome thing.
I love it.
I'm sick of people sharing my name and confusing me for the dude from The Cure. I'm going to put a question mark on my name. And he's got all the letters afterwards and stuff for PhDs and everything.
Yeah,
about Robert Smith. Anyway, back to what I was supposed to be talking about. The Lethal Weapon finale happened.
Oh, okay.
End of season three.
Now, we've had some pretty big shakeups in the world of Lethal Weapon TV series.
Mm.
How did you find the final episode of this season?
The final episode was actually really quite good. Stifler, like Sean William Scott, has continued to grow in leaps and bounds on the show and really made it interesting. And it's been interesting the last few episodes to watch what's happening with Damon Wayans, because he made a lot of noise that he was going to be leaving the show.
Mm.
And then they managed to convince him to stay on for a few more episodes and finish out the season. And now there's talk that he may hang for next season. But there's no next season confirmed. And the show very much ended with not a cliffhanger, but setting up for here's what couldn't be next season. Alternatively, here's what can exist in your mind. Have fun with this. Take this where you think it might go.
Okay.
Yes.
So they've made the best of their situation where they don't know whether they're coming back. So they've kind of gone on either way. And did it work?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Someone that they're trying to track down and have been after for a while is on the run and went to, I want to say, Ecuador or somewhere South America way.
Mm-hmm.
And the season ends with them separately taking their families on this plane to go and investigate in their own time, and then running into each other on the plane. Like, what are you doing?
Are you?
And the women were like, men, they can't ever turn off. I thought this was a family holiday.
That's fun.
So yes, it does show that if they do another season, they could move there. Mm. I have a feeling that it would probably end up being cheaper than producing in LA.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Kind of like X-Files went to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Do you feel like doing a quiz before we get into the spoiler section?
Please.
Mm-hmm. This one's going to be... I don't know if it's going to be easy or hard for you, because it's The Walking Dead, so it's a Walking Dead quiz.
Yes.
But as we know, there's been several seasons of The Walking Dead, so
maybe...
What are we
on, nine?
Yeah, we're nine now, so it could be a bit hazy, but we'll see how you go.
All right.
Six questions. We're going to go with one of them now, in no order. What does Rick use to kill his first walker? So you got to think back to the first episode.
So that's the woman crawling across the grass. No, he doesn't kill her, does he? It's the little girl.
It's okay. I'm going to give you a clue. It's moments. It's around the time where he meets Morgan. He's out on a street. He's still in his hospital gear, and he picks up something very close to him in someone's garden.
Is it a tricycle?
It's a shovel.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, shovel. You were close, though. There is a tricycle, I think. in that scene. It's been a while since I've seen the Me first too. Season as well. All right, this one I reckon you'll be all right getting. Whose RV did they use in the early seasons?
Dale.
Yeah, Dale's. The one that they used later on when they were sort of getting boxed in by Negan and the Saviors.
Yes.
Was that the same one? Was that his or did they get that elsewhere? Because I feel like that's a long way from...
I believe that's a different one.
That's what I thought.
I think Dale's one might have gone down with the prison.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of prison, was that where we first saw Sasha?
She arrived with Tyrese.
Yeah. But I don't want to know the beginning of Sasha. I want to know the end. How did she die? Do you remember?
She was locked inside the coffin when she turned.
Mm-hmm.
Before she went in there, was it just that she was very sick and she asked Eugene for something that would help her go?
Yeah, so pill. She had a cyanide pill or something. Because I remember there was something about the water. She said, can I have some water? And I think it might have been Negan or somebody gave her a bottle of water, and that was obviously to let the pill go down. What a jagged little pill. Oh, what was Carol's first husband's name? Do you remember? I'll give you a clue. You know the talking horse in the 1950s TV Ed. Show? Yeah, his name's Ed.
Was it Jim? No, Jim was the guy that they left underneath the tree.
That's right. I remember watching that for the first time and just, that was super powerful, that scene, just leaving him there. He's like, no, I'm going to die here. Which one of Carl's eyes did he lose? Do you remember? Which side? I had to do extensive research in this, as in a Google image.
In the comic, it's the right-hand side, because I can remember the shot of the blown...
It's I'm got pretty a bit sure of it's the same. Side. Yeah, it's
right,
the right.
His right eye.
Yeah. Finally, who was the person who shot Carl's eye out?
That stupid shit kid.
Family. The whiny boy and then his angsty teenage brother.
Yeah, it was the teenage brother.
Rhymes with Tom. No, it doesn't. Rhymes with Lon. Ton.
John...
Starts with an R.
Ron.
Like, who calls a kid Ron?
Ron.
Far out.
Ronald.
Yeah, they were hard, weren't they?
They were hard, but I enjoyed those. There was a few there that I had to
trip. I wouldn't have remembered the shovel bit, to be honest with you. I was thinking it was the little kid, the girl at the petrol station, but it wasn't. It was, it was before that. Let's get into the spoiler section.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
Whoop.
What do you want to do first, Walking Dead or Umbrella Academy?
Up to you. You lead the show.
Why don't we do The Walking Dead simply because we just did a quiz about them. So we're in season 9. We're up to the Whisperers. We're learning about the Whisperers themselves. How do they do things? Are they always... Because from what we've heard so far about the Whisperers, to me I was like, I don't logistically know how they sleep. I don't know how they... Do they just walk with the herds all the time? Because... You'd never be able to stop. You'd be like Forrest Gump. And then we got some answers. And we also got some answers in terms of they are not necessarily 100% invincible.
No.
From a walker attack. So they got some walkers in. And I think the walkers killed at least one person.
The walkers killed, it looked like they took out a couple.
Mm.
I think it was Daryl that led them in there. So it wasn't so much that the normal defences weren't working. It was that someone was a mole.
A Daryl. So in terms of Walking Dead episodes this season or the last couple, I'd say this is quite a strong one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think I last week's one was a very high bar.
I think last week's I enjoyed more, but this one was still pretty good.
There's some good elements in there. You got Eugene acting selfless for once.
Yeah, that was a thing.
I'm hoping that's about all the melodrama we need for this. I'm happy for it to be a small background story, but I'm not going to start giving a shit about Rosita's unborn kid with one of 3 minor characters.
Yeah, me too. I think they're just setting up for deaths.
Yeah, that's fair.
It just looks like it. If you've watched The Walking Dead for as long as we have, you can see it. Foreshadowing, whether you read the comics or not, you can see what's happening.
Yep, they're going to clear house.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I did, and I keep harping back to this, particularly knowing that Carl's supposed to still be there and that Henry is taking all of Carl's storylines. There were moments, particularly when Henry was captured, when it looked like he potentially was going to get stabbed. I did not care as much as I would have if that was Carl. I feel if Carl was there, the stakes would have been way higher and I would be way more worried about him being captured by the Whisperers.
Him being gone is pissing me off for two main reasons. One, everything you've just laid out there. You're so much more invested in the Whisperers as a threat because you've got Carl, the son of our main hero, basically undercover in there, but falling for this girl and being swept up in that bullshit and potentially losing Carl to the others. But on the flip side, with no Carl, they've forced Negan to be paired up with Judith, which is dumb. Because in the comic, again, we saw how much he cared for Carl. And so when
even the TV show was setting up
this
storyline.
Carl goes off with the Whisperers and Negan gets out, Negan goes straight for the Whisperers. And it seems like he's going to go and join up.
Because at the moment, it just looks like he's escaped, seen that the Saviour's area is gone, that whole part of his life is gone, and he's come back and then he's gotten into trouble with Michonne. That's what the storyline seems to me.
Yeah, whereas in the comic, it's much more he goes out with the intention of joining the Whisperers and then infiltrates them and I won't say what he does, but manages to mess up a whole bunch of their plans.
Yeah, right.
And he essentially does what Lydia has already done.
Okay.
Go in, find out all the info and go back.
Yeah.
Negan pulls that move to try and prove to Rick that he's worth saving. So I don't know where they're going with this whole Negan storyline of him getting out and then coming back and achieve nothing.
It also makes me think, what was the actual reason for getting rid of Carl? Was it the shock value? Because it just annoyed people.
There has to be something behind
it. It has to be something, doesn't it?
I can't even say it's the 5-year time jump. Mind you, got to give a shout out. Chandler Riggs has popped up on A Million Little Things.
Oh, nice.
Really depressing suicide show that I find difficult to watch but really enjoy.
He'd be good.
Yes.
I hope he has great success there because there's a show that's definitely lacking with his absence. Okay, so going forward, we've still got the fair to talk about.
Yes.
That's coming up. There's going to be a whole heap of carnage, obviously. And I like that we got a bit more of an insight into Alpha's, what would you say, leading, the way she leads, the way she, even though there's a whole heap of Whisperers and we're not sure how many, she's still very much overseeing everyone.
Yes.
She sees everything.
Yes. Someone pointed out that the show has stopped doing the Negan dip. Negan doesn't do the dip anymore, but Alpha does the hunch.
Yeah, she's very hunchy.
But if you watch, there's a specific hunch she does.
Okay, I'm gonna keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
The Alpha hunch versus the Negan dip. All right, so good episode. Looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Let's get into Umbrella Academy. We've watched the whole entire season. You watched it in the space of a day or two, didn't you?
Got through it nice and quick.
I did a whole heap of watching on the weekend and powered through and loved it, absolutely loved it. There was one thing that I had a bit of trouble with.
Right.
And it was, they knew that the world was ending, but they kept getting sidetracked with other stories. If the world really was ending, wouldn't you go, look, it doesn't matter if she's gone off in a huff, or it doesn't matter if she's, or if he's missing at this moment because we're all going to be dead pretty soon. We probably should go and try and save the day.
That's the point of the show, is that these children are so self-important that they can't focus on working together to try and solve something big.
I loved the fact that Ellen Page's character's whole outfit, including the violin, turned white. Whole thing turned white. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Stylistically, beautiful. Loved it. What was your highlight?
We're behind the spoiler wall, yeah?
Yeah, we're 100% behind
when
the spoiler
ben
wall.
When Ben comes back, when he gets to go full Kraken,
And we got to see. Mm-hmm. We got to see, because I think we'd only seen
him inside the bank where he went into a.
But
one
we,
of the
didn't
wall,
see, we didn't it see it. It was all hidden.
We just saw some tentacle stuff.
And we got to see it happen.
Yes.
It was awesome.
So between Ben channeling through Klaus was amazing, and then the very end shot when they're back being young and Ben is alive.
It's reset the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's go? Have you read the comics? Is mm-hmm. this what has happened in the comics?
We're only through the third story arc of a proposed eight at
okay.
this stage. So it's going to be a Game of Thrones style situation where the show gets ahead of the comics.
Yeah, okay.
That's cool.
That's fine. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see how the reset happens because we've all grown to love those actors.
Yes. Well, they won't stay that way for long.
Okay. That'll do.
We're not going to be hanging around with them as kids for very long.
Fair enough.
Again, five. Holy shit, that actor is good.
He's unbelievable.
He's like 15.
He's a Jodie Foster. That's
an
what
old
he is.
Man.
He's Jodie Foster. That's the kind of acting he does. He acts beyond his years.
It's just crazy how.
And you take it for granted. It's kind of like. It kind of reminded me a little bit of how you take for granted Orphan Black. Do you remember that TV show and it was all
oh, hell
the,
yeah, where she played
she
Tatiana
played pretty much all the characters
mm-hmm.
and you just took for granted that all of these characters were different people, but they weren't. It was all the same actress. This is the same kind of acting. He is so good at it that you find yourself taking it for granted.
Yeah. And I just watched him again on that Nickelodeon show and he's just like the dorky, awkward sidekick.
Leaps and bounds. That kid is phenomenal. What a great show.
Can I ask, what was your favourite use of music throughout?
Because it was still the Istanbul.
Yeah?
Constantinople. I still love that. But there was some other. Do you know, actually, the violin at the very end?
Sure.
That music was so powerful that I honestly think it became a character in that last part of the season, the last part of that episode.
Well, I really recommend checking out the soundtrack, like the score that's been put out, because it's mostly her violin work.
It's very good.
It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
I think my favourite song choice has to be when they're dancing in the moonlight.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. I like that. Yeah. It was a nice little break. You got to smile along with it. Yeah.
And there's some fantastic covers through there.
Yeah, there are.
Gerard
Way.
There
was a Sia song in
there.
Yeah,
and Gerard Way doing Hazy Shade of Winter.
Yeah, that's right.
Mary J. Blige gets a cover or two in there.
Can we just throw some more love at her?
So good.
Also, how has she not aged in 20 years? If you go back and watch, I don't know, do you remember that video? That song, her and George Michael, she doesn't look any different.
She and Paul Rudd.
Yes.
Know the secret.
They were the fountain of youth. But she's amazing. I love her character so much.
Mm-hmm.
I like all of them. There was not a character where I was like, oh, go away.
Yeah. Who? Favorite character?
Five.
Yeah?
Yeah, five.
For me, it's between five and Klaus.
Oh, Klaus is phenomenal
Klaus
as well.
Just
but just
protecting.
Five is just. He's a cut above. He really is.
I'm very excited for the potential moving forward for them to have their powers grow.
Mm.
Being more comfortable and working alongside each other should see their stuff
and
develop.
Have less mistakes and disasters.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the appeal of these, you know, they're fucked up. There's no other way to put it. They're fucked up children.
They really are. I'm intrigued to see the backstory of their father.
Mm.
What's his name?
Hargraves.
Yeah.
Interesting you should say that, because they started dropping a few hints that he knew the apocalypse was coming and this and stuff. Is he from Earth?
Which universe is he from?
We'll find out.
Which parallel universe is he from? Very exciting. What I do like about this show is just from my anecdotally people I know and also online, it seems like it has intrigued and gotten a lot of fans from all different parts of life, age, interests. It seems to be one of those comic book adaptations that a whole heap of people really into.
Yeah.
That potentially never would have been into it.
I've been saying to people that it's kind of had a similar effect to Deadpool or Logan, where suddenly people have gone, oh, wait, so this is a comics can be really grown up.
Yep.
This is great.
That's good.
I'm hoping that this episode we record now last for a long time. And in 10 years, when we have some time travel audio frequency technology. So that, you don't need to come back, but just send me a message back there and tell me I'm right that Angelina Jolie, right? She's Hargraves.
Oh.
And she's been collecting children from around the world.
Oh.
And in 10 years from now, we're going to have a super team of mini Jolies.
Oh.
Looking like bloody United Colours of Benetton.
Shiloh? Oh, what's the... They're all, the oldest descendant of Angelina and Brad.
Yes.
100% is going to be the violin player.
Uh-huh. The norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you watch.
That's a great theory.
Thank you. I have purposely kept that under my hat for like 2 weeks.
You've nearly blown my mind with that.
I wanted to put it out on just put it out as a dumb social joke and stuff. And I thought, no, I'll wait.
Yeah, podcast give people a bit of
time. Exclusive.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I'm exhausted after all of this. That was a huge episode and some really great watching stuff. If you've got any watching suggestions, if you've got a quiz suggestion, you can send us an email to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. If you don't already like us on Facebook, do that.
Mm.
We are The Watchers. Type that in the search bar up the top. And the Instagram page is The Watchers Podcast. There's all, you know what? There's more stuff that goes up on the Instagram page than the Facebook
there
page.
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
So.
Gram it.
Yeah, gram it, dudes. Tom, thank you very much.
Bortles!
You shocked me then. That was great.
I had nothing ready. I didn't know that the end was coming.
Oh, that it's like a stand-up show. You never know when the end's coming. It just abruptly ends.
But just when in doubt, lob a Molotov cocktail and yell Bortles.